from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, so I was driving around yesterday with all of my appointments. I started off with cryotherapy and then massage and then acupuncture, then chiropractor. Anyway, I was driving around and of course I'm listening to Cairo Radio. Can you explain to me, help me understand, how did I hear my voice on the show yesterday?
That was some AI magic.
Hey, what?
Yes. We were using the whole chat GPT and using it with some of your old favorite lines.
Yeah.
It sounded pretty good, didn't it?
Man, that is scary.
I know. Chef was saying, you know what? When you two are out, maybe I can put together a whole show using ChatGPT.
Okay, let me just tell y'all this. So here's the truth. I mean, yes, I was off work, but the entire time that I was off work, in between appointments, I'm in the car listening to this show. It is awful. It is terrible to be off work. And, like, I'm missing a good time. I'm missing the texters. I'm missing you guys.
And they were missing you. Yeah. They were missing you, too. But I'm glad you're back.
Appreciate
and I'm glad your neck is at least cooperating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it is when you have pain that you just cannot get rid of, no matter what you try.
My neck and my back.
Shout out to everybody
that knows that line and send me it in if you know where that line is from. Ursula, what's going on the show today?
Well, you heard in Heather's newscast, former Sonic star Sean Kemp is in some trouble. Everyone is talking about this story, so we are going to bring you the newest details on that.
Uh-huh.
Then coming up at 9:30, we're going to talk to the state senator who resurrected a police pursuit bill. It looked to be dead in Olympia, but Democrat John Lovick is going to explain what his legislation would do to allow officers to chase crooks while keeping the public as safe as possible. As always, we talked about our state roofing text line. We want you to engage with us. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
So was AIG able to even say it's time to get the people what they want?
We didn't do that one. That's for you. Right now,
it is. It's time to get the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40 Suzu in Auburn.
Former Seattle Sonic star Sean Kemp is jailed this morning in connection with a shooting in a parking lot near the Tacoma Mall. It happened around 2 yesterday afternoon. In cell phone video, you can see Kemp, who's wearing a red vest, outside of his car, and he approaches another vehicle, appears to yell something before pulling the trigger at least once.
Got the gun in his right hand. He's yelling at that guy in the floor.
And at this point, he's kind of backing up. It didn't take long before you hear the sirens. Those witnesses told TMZ that they actually heard multiple gunshots before pulling their phones out to record the incident.
Gun in right hand.
They're helping direct the officers to Sean Kemp. They claim that they saw Kemp drive around the parking lot and then ditch his gun in a bush before talking to police. And Sean Kemp was arrested on a drive-by shooting charge.
Harvey Dent said in Batman, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. In this case, come on, Sean. Come on, man. When we fans, and I say we, because the vast majority of people listening, you know Sean Kemp by way of the Seattle Sonics. You know Sean Kemp, the Rain Man. You know Sean Kemp, the 90s. Ursula, you really know Sean Kemp because he kind of saved you one time.
He did. I shared the story. If you didn't hear about it, one time I was near Seattle Center.
Uh-huh.
And I experienced one of the few times I've ever experienced road rage. There was someone, a man in a convertible who apparently was just not happy that I took an extra second to get moving.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out of his car and he was yelling and screaming and in my face.
Yeah.
I mean, right there at Seattle Center, it's like people are
yelling at Ursula.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And what happened?
And then in a big fancy car, I can't tell you exactly what kind of car it was, with tinted windows, the window rolls down and it's Sean Kemp. And he looks at me and he says, "Are you okay?" Is everything right. cool? Are you okay?
Right.
And I was like, I love you. I thank you. Because I was like traumatized.
Right. How did you know who it was?
He was one of my favorite players.
Okay, just making sure.
Of course I do.
I actually watched games. So I'm glad. I asked you that for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason why I asked you that for a reason, I'm going to come back to this. Come on, Sean.
I know.
Bruh, you six forever. Meaning you are 6 feet forever. Meaning you are the tallest dude that's going to be in a parking lot. What are you doing? Now, we're going to find out. The story's going to keep going, and I'm sure there's going to be an investigation. But Ursula, I got to tell you that since last night and into this morning, I have not been excited about the attachment of drive-by shooting. Because so far, including what you've seen by way of TMZ, by way of what we saw from Cairo 7, TMZ, we have not seen a drive-by shooting. Drive-by shooting is when perpetrator and or perpetrators are in a vehicle that shoot a gun and then flee. So far, my friend, we have not seen that yet.
Okay, so here is the difference, though, because there were witnesses who spoke with TMZ, and presumably they also talked with police, who said they heard multiple gunshots before they pulled out that video. So just because we didn't see Sean Kemp in the car, supposedly there were people who witnessed him in the car, and so maybe some of those shots were fired in that time. The other thing is, if you look at the law, it says a person is guilty of drive-by shooting when he or she recklessly discharges a firearm, as defined in that RCW, in a manner which creates a substantial risk of death or serious physical injury to another person, and the discharge is either from a motor vehicle or from the immediate area of a motor vehicle that was used to transport the shooter or the firearm. So, again, they hold him on that charge. That doesn't mean that's necessarily what he's going to be charged with, but there must be some reason why.
But the narrative, the memes that we now see because of the headlines, all over social media, there's memes right now of Sean Kemp being inside of a vehicle and being in a quote-unquote drive-by shooting. The connection, right, and the history of when drive-by shooting is brought up right away automatically makes all of us think, wait, what? Sean in a drive-by shooting? And then when you see the video and it's like, well, wait, is it a drive-by shooting? So I look forward to the more details and more facts coming out about this. And I'm just curious, and I'm going to be waiting to see the reversal, if that's going to happen, if drive-by shooting is going to get taken out of the headline.
And that will be, and you know what, putting it in the headlines, I mean, that's the media. The police arrested him on suspicion of this, and it's going to be up to the prosecutors to decide whether it is in fact a drive-by shooting or something else. Could be reckless, you know, whatever, endangerment or whatever it is. The police though are not the ones that are giving the details. Did you notice? I mean, so it really is like sources telling Fox 13 Kemp was trying to get items that he claimed were stolen. Mm-hmm. And once he tracked down the property, someone opened fire on him.
Sure.
He is claiming that he was acting on self-defense. There's a lot of details that have come out, but it's not police that are pushing.
Well, I just want to say, ex-Sonic star Sean Kemp reportedly arrested after Tacoma shooting. That was the headline of the Seattle Times, right? And I feel that headline is a correct headline, and that's media. I don't think inflammatory headlines are a good thing. There has been a history in the past where the media takes either the statement or the word of law enforcement of what's happened. I mean, do I need to bring up Manny Ellis? Do I need to bring up that topic? Or do I need to bring up many topics in the past where the headline does not match the story? So, again, I look forward to this all playing out.
It's back. Just when it looked like a police pursuit bill was dead, it has been resurrected in the state Senate.
Sources in the Capitol say Senate leadership saw the House version of a police pursuit bill was not going to be put to a vote by a 5 p.m. cutoff. So at 1 p.m., a Senate version that never got a public hearing suddenly appeared for a vote by all members.
By not passing it, we're putting lives in danger. We're emboldening criminals.
It passed 26-23 with a mix of Democrats and Republicans voting for and against. It matches the failed House bill and allows police to use a reasonable suspicion standard to pursue violent suspects and adds limits to pursuits when there is a serious risk of harm to others. Matt Markovich, Cairo News Radio.
Yes. Hallelujah. This vehicular pursuit bill that was in place in the first place was too extreme. We have talked about it. We've had respect out of law enforcement that have come on and helped us get through and talk about this. Ursula, I said it. You and I have both said it. We said before that adults in the room need to sit down at the table and get and make this right. But instead, politics kept getting in the way of this entire thing. I loved what happened yesterday because I love when there is an example of when they love people more than politics, and the bipartisan effort to get the amendment passed that they did. Bravo.
Well, and State Senator John Lovick, who is sponsoring the bill that was resurrected, he's going to join us here in about 15 minutes. But the thing I'm most proud of is when, like you said, a bipartisan effort, people listening, and then people, there were some Democrats who said, we got to admit when we get something wrong. We intended to fix something and maybe we had unintended consequences that we didn't realize. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what?
Yeah.
That's not working. We still need to address this idea of too many people getting hurt during police chases. So let's address that while also not now allowing criminals to go free and do things like get away with ATMs in the back of the truck because you can't chase them.
And Senator Lovelock is going to be coming on That's our right. show at 9:30, right. So we get to really praise him. I like John Lovelock. He all right.
Well, he will be joining us. So all the effort to find a new location for another SeaTac-sized airport may be for naught. The House has now passed a bill to start the entire process all over again. HB 1791 would appoint a new work group to do a comprehensive investigation of existing and new airport sites in the state. And if this bill passes, this new work group would replace the Commercial Aviation Commission that was created by the legislature just 3 years ago. That commission, as we've reported on this show, narrowed its list to 3 greenfield sites in Pierce and Thurston counties and was supposed to give its final recommendation to the state in June. The bill's sponsor now, Jake Fay, says opposition to the commission's proposed airport sites was loud, it was fierce, and was widely covered by news organizations, including our show. And he says it was clear that the process was severely flawed, so they want to redo with the hope of coming up with a different result. What do you think?
It took 4 years to come up with, hey, the process is flawed. 2019. Imagine that. Imagine putting together you and your friends doing a science project or doing any type of project, right? And then you guys working on the entire thing for 4 years. And then after 4 years, when it's time for it to be due, which is due in June of this year, you come to find out, oh, the process is flawed. So now what? You start all over again, right? And we know, Ursula, it has been said that by 2050, it is being said that it's going to be to capacity. So if it is 2023 now, it took 4 years to figure out that the process was flawed and they're starting all over again. Can you imagine when the airport is actually going to get built?
Yeah, well, at this rate, it's going to be a long, long time. And by 2050, they're saying that airports will need to accommodate 27 million more passengers. Uh-huh. It's at capacity right now. That's the problem. So right now, there are plans to expand SeaTac, Payne Field, and so that will, you know, maybe allow like another 17 million by the year 2030. But they're saying that's not going to do it. And why should you care? And you know, you can say, well, I don't want it in my backyard. It's going to ruin the character. It's, you know, going to get rid of Greenfield. It will forever change the way we live out here in Pierce and Thurston counties. Well, what result is this new group going to have? They're not going to recommend a single site. They're going to evaluate and identify the strengths and weaknesses of potential locations. Isn't that what was just done?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're just kicking the can down the road because people were really outraged. They're going to be outraged.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a tough decision that's going to get made. Somebody's not going to like where the airport is going to be. But it's going to happen, Captain. I'm just letting you know.
Or
at some point,
you just need to deal with the fact that, okay, we can't grow. And then are we willing to say goodbye to the estimated $30 billion in economic activity and the more than 200,000 jobs that will be brought to the region with this additional capacity? I mean, that would be the question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, Kirkland is going to soon be a home to a one-of-a-kind facility that aims to treat mental illness, drug addiction, and homelessness all in one stop. Starting next year, Governor Inslee says police are going to be able to take people having a mental health crisis to this walk-in center for help. Patients will also get access to services like drug rehab and housing.
We cannot solve this problem just with psychologists. We cannot solve this problem just with chemical addiction specialists, because those folks can't do their job while a person's under a blue tarp somewhere out on the streets.
Together, King County and the state have put more than $21 million toward this new center. It's going to be able to serve 14,000 people at once.
I love this. I love this crisis center that is expected to operate under the, quote, no wrong door model. And basically what that is they have models of this down in Arizona. They have models of this down in Texas. They're basically saying no adults will be turned away, even with the lack of insurance, that they won't get turned away. And Ursula, over the last few decades, there has clearly been a divestment into mental health. Right. It is. It's fact. The number of King County residential mental health beds is half of what it was 30 years ago. And just the other day, I was talking to a family member and they want to go see a therapist. They have a choice. They can either use their work insurance and see someone in mid-May or pay out of pocket and be able to see someone right away. This is the problem right now in our country. Yeah, you might have health insurance, but the wait that you have to make, like, hey, I got a problem now, not mid-May.
Yeah, we talked to the Seattle Times reporter who pointed out that in the 1990s, 550 or so people countywide could be covered by the mental health beds in the county. Now there are 261 that exist today. I mean, we are sorely lacking at a time when we need it more than ever. So this new home is the result of state and county efforts together, different cities working together and saying we need this. And that is what is kind of setting the table, so to speak, for this levy that we're going to be asked to vote on next month, which would open five of these crisis care centers.
Good news. I think it's definitely good news. Shout out to Kirkland being one of those spots. Hey, coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show. Oh, you can call him LeBron James. You can call him Michael Jordan. But he was doing his thing yesterday as the senator. Senator John Lubick is going to join the show next. He's going to talk about the Senate bill that he sponsored and they passed on the police pursuits. We do all of that next. G and Ursula.
To the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. Around this time yesterday, we were reporting that efforts to pass a bill that would loosen restrictions for police to chase criminals appeared to be dead in Olympia. But in a move that came as a surprise to many, a police pursuit bill was resurrected in the Senate. Senate Bill 5352 would require police officer training on vehicular pursuits, but it also changes the burden of proof so that officers can chase suspects when a reasonable suspicion standard is met. State Senator John Lubick is the sponsor of the bill, and he joins us live now. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Ursula. It's good to be with you. I always love your voice, and I'm glad that you're back.
Oh, thank you so much. So we had expressed concern because we were hoping that you and your colleagues in Olympia would be able to pass something this year instead of waiting another 2 years. But the question is, why did it take this last minute move in the Senate?
Ursula, you make me smile. You know, anything you go after in Olympia, you just have to work hard. So I decided to to continue to pursue the idea. I mean, sorry about the terrible pun, but I decided that I would pursue this until we made it happen. But it just takes a lot of work, and I worked very closely with my colleagues, especially Senator Dingra, and we came up with something that we think will work.
Senator, why did it take so long, though? Why did it really have to take? I mean, this reminds me of when I used to get my homework done. I had all weekend to do my homework, but I wanted to wait until Sunday night after 60 minutes to get my homework done. Can you explain to me, Senator, why it took this dang on long for this to get done? By the way, good job. I'm glad you did something.
You know, gee, I should always be prepared for you to hit me with the hard questions. You know, it's just a process of just working out things. You know, we listen to the community, we listen to the offices, we listen to both sides, and sometimes it just takes a while to get good legislation done. And you know, our goal in the final analysis is to have zero pursuits. But it just takes a while to work on things, and we've done it, and I feel good about it.
Okay, so let's talk about Senate Bill 5352. So what are the specifics of this bill, and why was it – so maybe we can understand why it was more palatable this time around. What changed?
Well, like I said, Ursula, we talked to I listened to a lot of the constituents. I spent a lot of time talking with my colleagues here, especially Senator Dingra. And sometimes you have to, you know, in everything that we do, we have to listen to people. And I think that changed a lot of what we did. Just working with, working through the process. I respect the process down here. When Senator Dingra had made the decision not to to give the bill a hearing, I respected that tremendously. But I decided to keep talking with her, to keep working with her. And, the one thing we do is we do listen to our constituents. And I think what we ended up with was something that people were allowed to vote their conscience, to vote their district, and to vote for what's best for the state. And I think we ended up with something that's going to work well. We had the big issue of probable cause versus reasonable suspicion, and those were the issues that kind of we were hung up on.
Okay, Senator, you keep saying that, you know, you guys are listening. You're listening to law enforcement. You're listening to the community. Yep. You're listening to the people that all were like, hey, this needs to change. You keep saying that you kept talking to your constituents. You kept talking to them. What did you say in the last hour to really change the mind there? Because if everybody's listening, it does not feel like people were listening in the first place. What did you say at the last minute?
You know, I can't. So I'll start by saying I can't discuss what we talk about in caucus.
Fair.
And I just can't do that. But I will say that all of the members had opportunities. We had the opportunity to talk to and to listen to each other and to come up with a compromise, because the big issue that we were dealing with was, you know, reasonable suspicion to reason to believe that a crime had occurred versus probable cause, which is more likely that a crime had occurred. So those were the issues that we were just caught up on. And you know, I just have to say this. Mm-hmm. Vehicular pursuits are the most dangerous things, one of the most dangerous things an officer could be involved in. I did this stuff for 31 years as a state trooper, and we just wanted to do everything we could to protect the whole community. At the same time, we had to listen to the public. We had to listen to the law enforcement community. And I feel great about the compromise that we reached,
which includes police officer training on vehicular pursuits. So
yes.
How is that different from what already exists?
You know, I think, and I don't know all of the details, but I think we're going to be working very, very closely with the Criminal Justice Training Commission at CJTC to make sure that they have the training that an officer knows, that he has to have supervisors, if they can get a supervisor involved. Those are all of the things we have to, and most agencies have already done that. You know, when I was a state trooper, we were constantly training, going through the training at the academy, and most of the agencies in our state are already training their officers in this. We want to make sure that it happens. And I'll just say this, and I have to just tell both of you this and your listeners, In my time as a state trooper, I probably managed more pursuits and terminated more pursuits than anybody, I think, in this state. And I do believe that. So that's what we're dealing with.
Well, at
some point, officers, supervisors are going to have to make that tough decision that we're going to allow pursuits in certain circumstances. And I think that we're going to do that. But at the same time, we're going to have to know that we need to terminate them. But I think what we do with this legislation is that it's going to give the officers the tools to do their job to the best of their ability. And that's what we all want.
We're joined here by Senator John Lovick here to talk about the Senate bill that he sponsored and that was passed on the police pursuits. Hey, Senator, so you just mentioned that the police officers, law enforcement, will now have the tools. What can we, as people in the community, what can we expect now? Can we, now that it has been changed and now that you guys have come to a compromise, can we expect a decrease in stolen cars? Can we expect a decrease in crime?
So let me just say this. I'm glad to ask the question, G. You know, I listen to radio all the time, and I heard an officer, a detective, say that car thefts are up because of the pursuits. I have to tell you this. When he gave the description of a car theft, he said what people are doing is they're leaving their keys in the ignition, they're leaving the purse on the front seat, and they're doing all those things. Those are the reasons people are stealing cars. It has absolutely nothing, and I'm going to state this parenthetically. Car theft has nothing to do with whether you can pursue the vehicle or not. People need to do their best to keep their their vehicles from getting stolen. Don't leave the keys in the car. Don't throw the freaking keys in the trunk when you get out to go work out at the gym. We need to do those things to prevent cars from being stolen. It has nothing to do with pursuits. And I'll just say this, and I get very emotional when I say this. Anybody that tells you differently is misrepresenting the truth. And I will say that, and I'll state that forever.
Okay, wait, Senator, just to make sure I understood that. So you're saying that we're making it too easy for people to steal vehicles. And it's that not because generally thieves know that they can get away with just about anything is what the narrative is right now.
First of all, and I'm going to say this, Ursula, I don't think the average person, and this is me because I did this stuff for a lot of years, I don't think the average person walking around out there, I think that people take opportunities to steal things. They don't know that while they're stealing that car, that no one is going to pursue them for driving that stolen car now. I think we need to do things to prevent people from stealing our things. And that's the bottom line. And any of us to tell you that this is the reason, we're misrepresenting the truth. And I will never misrepresent the truth to the public.
State Senator Lovick, you know that we love and appreciate you. I'm just going to, I want to push back on that because the idea that it's the victim's fault almost that their car is being taken. And I know that's not what you're trying to say, but it sounds to be that way.
No. Ursula, I'm not saying it's the victim's fault, but I'm saying to you that I do not believe that because a vehicle, our car thefts are up around the United States, around the world, around the country. I believe that people are taking opportunities to steal things, to commit crimes, and I don't know that the person stealing this car, I don't know if he knows or does not know that he's not going to be pursued. Let's be real about this. That's just what I believe. I'm not blaming the victim, but I'm saying we need to do everything we can. Don't leave the keys in the front seat. Don't leave your purse in the trunk. Those are things that I believe are adding to this the crime of car theft.
I hear you. State Senator John Lovick, appreciate you, and I'm glad to hear that your bill has now at least put that back on the table right now in Olympia. Thank you so much.
Can I just say this before I hop up? We really appreciate your interest in this. You guys have done a good job of getting the message out, and again, we listen to what you are saying, and I believe you've helped the public engage us better. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, credit card debt is on the rise. Shocker, right? We're going to tell you how much money it is up. G and Ursula. G and Ursula Show. Hey, coming up at 10:06, we will talk about what's new at 10, and we'll probably be discussing our interview with Senator John Lovick. Really appreciate him for joining the show, and we'll be talking about other things as well. But right now, we need to talk credit card debt. There has been a study, and this has come from Wallet Hub. Check this out. U.S. consumers right now are back to bad habits when it comes to credit card debt. Consumers added an all-time record of $180 billion in new credit card debt to their tab during the 2022 year, capped off by a $85.8 billion increase during the fourth quarter alone. The biggest quarterly increase ever. Now, Ursula, I'm going to give you a couple of stats according to this. Some of the findings. Credit card debt increased by, again, $85.8 billion during that fourth quarter, which is the biggest increase ever. The increase in credit card debt during the fourth quarter of 2022 was 1.8 times larger than the post-Great Recession average of that year, the next year after the fourth quarter of the year. Outstanding credit card debt increased by roughly 7.1% during the fourth quarter of last year compared to the previous quarter. And since the end of the Great Recession, consumer performance has regressed on a year-over-year basis in six of every 10 quarters. Ursula, credit card debt right now is real. And in your opinion, I should ask, does this track with everything going on, considering we talk about the impact of inflation all the time, my friend?
Well, sadly, it does. If you go to the grocery store, if you go to buy something online or go to a department store and buy clothing, you know that you're paying a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. You're paying more at the restaurants. Even fast food is more expensive. I mean, just you can't get as much for your money right now. And then wages are not keeping up with inflation. I mean, if your bosses tell you that they're going to give you a big 2% or 3% raise, you're going backwards. Right? Many of us have been in that conversation, and it doesn't feel good. if you're not working right now, even worse. So how do you know, though, if you have too much credit card debt?
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time in my life when all I could do was pay the minimum payment. And that was just a horrible feeling. But if you can't even make the minimum payment, you've got too much credit card debt. But even just, making that minimum payment, you're going nowhere because, again, the interest rates are, so you're just barely staying afloat. If you've maxed out on one or more of your credit cards, if you're always like spending up to the limit,
mm-hmm.
again, I mean, and if you look, and for some people, they don't have a choice. I mean, and I know you'll say, I don't have a choice. But the best thing that you could do is talk to someone who is an expert in finances, because that's what gets you. I mean, when you're just paying those outrageous interest rates, mm-hmm. It affects your credit score. It affects, so many things mm-hmm. that when you can get to the point, I mean, what works for us. And of course, I'm in a much different place right now, but I just use one credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And I try my hardest. It doesn't always work, but I try to just pay it off mm-hmm. before I can even get charged that interest.
You know what I've learned about being able to not have credit card debt, and the advice, the best things that you can do on how not to get the debt and how not to max out your credit card? You want to know the best thing I've learned?
That you need to make money.
Come on.
I know.
It really isn't, like, because when you're trying to get money from Peter to pay Paul,
yeah.
and then once you, that one month that you did not pay, and you go into the next yeah. month, and then you have that 27-28% yes. interest on that.
But you were in a position that, yes, a lot of people get into, but there are people who make pretty good money and still manage to get in credit card debt.
Sure.
And but, still don't know how sure. to manage that. And get screwed when you're paying then you're late on your payment. Now it's a $25 or $37 fee on top of everything else. And
that's but the most of the credit card debt, that in my opinion out there, is people that really can't afford to catch up, and they just can't. They're still below water. They can't breathe. And so there are rare times where there's somebody who makes a lot of money and they have credit card debt. You do. Hey, that's a true statement. That's because there's other things at play, like possibly gambling or something like that, that is in effect,
or just overspending.
Overspending. Coming up next here on the Gian Ursula Show, we're going to rehash and retalk about our interview with Senator John Lubick. It is Gian Ursula. It's your thing.